When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's Larisha Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw along with Larisha Harris, and we are pleased to be joined by a very, very, very special guest, the Commissioner of the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Gregory Moore joins us now. And Mr. Commissioner, so happy to have you with us.
Good to be here, Sam.
Always great to talk with you and the things that are going on with the SIAC. My goodness, we saw you last on Media Day, which was at the College Football Hall of Fame, which is a great way to get things started, to be in an environment like that. Talk about having that place really as your place where you launch your school year and your season.
First of all, it's good to be here, and I want to thank both of you for the coverage that our schools, in particular, and historically black colleges in general, that you guys give them. We don't get the kind of coverage we deserve, so you guys have really been doing a phenomenal job, so I appreciate the work you've done. Our media day, we moved it to the College Football Hall of Fame 2 years ago. It's been well received by our student athletes. Are thinking that it serves as a kind of platform to showcase our football, which we believe is kind of underrated. As you know, we've led in football attendance 15 consecutive years. So, I think it's really a treat for our student athletes and our fans, and it gives our product, our football product, the kind of platform it deserves to open up the season.
What is the secret behind this continuous streak of leading when it comes down to football attendance? I mean, what's the secret sauce here?
Yeah, I think the secret sauce is our fans. Generally speaking, there's often a tension, right, between a college and the community where the college is located. I think they call it town gown syndrome, right?
Okay.
But when you go to towns and communities like Tuskegee, Alabama, and Fort Valley, and Albany, Georgia, and Augusta, Georgia, you don't really see that tension. You see the opposite, because there's a real symbiotic relationship between that university and that community. And sometimes when I wade out into the tailgating area, I'll see folks with Albany or Tuskegee apparel on, and they're people who live in a town. They're
right.
Not connected to the university as either alumni or a student. So there's a real that's their school in these towns and these communities, and they show their support when these games take place on Saturday afternoon. It's a real community engagement event. The other factor, obviously, is where we're located, right? We kind of mirror, in many respects, the SEC footprint, with schools scattered across 14 schools in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina. We hope to expand to Florida at some point, but so we have kind of that footprint where football is king. So I think those factors, and we also have some good football. Our marching bands, our football product are strong. Tuskegee's the all-time winningest program. Morehouse is off to a great start. Fort Valley and Albany are traditionally strong. Benedict has gotten very strong. So all those factors have combined to, I think, keep the streak going of 15 years of leading in attendance.
Not only people coming to the games, but now people can see the games because of a visibility package you have through Flow. Talk about how that works and the things that the conference will get from that.
Well, I mentioned that I don't believe our league has gotten the attention it deserves, and that's generally a byproduct of media exposure, like the league's television agreement and broadcast agreement. So, in a good year in Division II, you may have 5 or 6 games that are streamed on ESPN3 or some other, on Aspire or some other broadcast platform. This year, in signing a deal with Flow, we have over 20 games that'll be broadcast. So that's unprecedented in Division II and probably, on the HBCU landscape to have that many games on. We actually have 25, including the 5 on ESPN. So we have a 25-game package, which is almost half of our season getting coverage. That's important because, when you're out there recruiting, kids care about exposure. Parents want to be able to watch their kids. Obviously, alumni engagement, they have a chance. If you can't make it to the game or you're working, it's an opportunity to watch the games on Flow or ESPN. And obviously, from a from a branding standpoint. You know, it gives our schools a chance to show what we're all about, the environment at the games, the pageantry, the marching bands, the environment. So it gives fans a chance who can't be there an opportunity to get a glimpse into, you know, everything that is HBCU football.
Yeah, that type of visibility also lends its way to things like partnerships and sponsorships for events. Talk about the value of the HBCU athletic experience. It seems like it has a value. And do you feel like the schools and the conferences are able to capitalize and get that true value?
I think the value is enormous, and particularly from a diversity inclusion standpoint, right? I mean, right now, everybody in college sports is talking about diversity and inclusion and how, you know, there's an underrepresentation of African Americans in key positions in sports. And that's particularly a problem in light of the fact that the two revenue generating sports, right, of basketball and football are, you know, roughly 60% African American young men. When you look at coaches and athletic directors and college presidents and student bodies representation, you're looking at very small percentages. At the Power Five schools in particular, you're looking at 2.5% undergraduate representation African American in general. And you're looking at 90% head coaches, non-African American, 90% football coaches, 85% basketball coaches. So when you look at HBCUs, you know, we are, even though we're only 5% of the 1,100 NCAA schools, you know, we are, you know, 80% of the basketball coaches, you know, football coaches, 90% of the, 100% of the commissioners from HBCUs. So, you know, we are, the, I always make the point that we are the single largest repository of diversity and inclusion in college sports. That's a gigantic contribution. And a lot of folks who've gotten their start at black colleges moved on with great success. We talked about, you know, John Chaney earlier, who obviously an SIAC alum, but he started at Chaney.
Yeah.
You know, Vivian Stringer started at Chaney University. Mm-hmm. Todd Bowles at the Jets' first job was at Morehouse College. You know, Tony Green, one of the best officials in the country, got to start officiating at our league.
Mm-hmm.
Maria Taylor, who worked for ESPN at the SEC channel. She went to UGA, but she worked our games for Bounce Network. So, you know, we are the platform for a lot of folks who go on and achieve great success in the sports industry.
I want to take a step back and go to what you talked about, expansion. You talked about expansion a little bit. You are responsible for basically adding three member institutions to the SIAC. We see that Savannah State is coming back to where they originally were. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about them coming back into this conference.
Well, you know, I think that speaks to the progress that our league and our presidents have helped to chart the last successes we've had over the past 9 years. And now we've become more of a destination. We have added three schools, Spring Hill College, Central State, and now Savannah State. We're looking to add more institutions, frankly. But in the case of Savannah State in particular, you know, you're looking at a school that was an historic member of our, you know, our league. Shannon Sharp,
right,
was, I think, two-time SIC Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a rich history between our league. Geographically, you know, they're rivals with Albany, and Morehouse was a rivalry back in the day.
Right.
Also, obviously, Fort Valley. So I think that them coming back to our league is going to create an uptick, frankly, in their attendance.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously well received by our fans who, you know, live in communities that are where Savannah State alumni and live as well. So, you know, in black college sports, you know, bragging rights and the rivalries are important. So I think it's going to be a very exciting thing to have them come back into our league next year.
Yeah, not a bad road trip when your team said, well, you got to go to Savannah. Well, that's a bad punishment to have to go down to Savannah for a football game at the beach.
Yeah, Savannah's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a destination city,
yeah,
as is Atlanta, as is Memphis. You know, so, you know, they are, again, they bring a lot of value. Their basketball is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they won the MEAC title a couple times, and they were the regular season champion, I think, last year. So they're going to make our Eastern Division, you know, even stronger in basketball. Because last year we had, you know, four teams ranked in the top 10 in the region, three in the top 25 in the country.
Yeah.
So bringing in a Savannah State, I think, will make our basketball product even stronger.
Fantastic to have those come in. Okay, we'll tell you what. We're going to move to our next segment. We're going to go to the playbook. Can you hang around with us for one more segment?
Sure.
Commissioner Gregory Moore of the SIAC is going to hang with us for one more segment. You stay with us, too. It's Sam and Larisha on HBCU Play.
Time out. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In the playbook.
It's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. Larisha Harris here. Alongside me, Sam Crenshaw in the studio with us. Continuing our conversation, we have Gregory Moore, the SIAC commissioner. Again, thank you for joining us today to chat everything about your conference and what's going on. I want us to transition a little bit into some more football-specific information because typically during this segment, we will break down the X's and O's, talk about certain games. But right now, Morehouse, undefeated, off to a good start. Your thoughts on what Coach Rich Freeman is doing with his team over there?
Well, I mean, he's been a very strong coach for some time now. I mean, if you look at last year's team, and they lost, I think, at least four or five games by a touchdown or less. So they've been just a bounce of the ball away from losing games they probably should have won last year. So I think Morehouse stands for the importance of continuity, not giving up on a coach and their program. And now I think they're getting the benefit of that now by sticking with him. I mean, they've put a lot of points on the board the first 3 weeks. And they have a tough matchup this upcoming week with Miles College in Chicago.
Talk about that game and having the SIAC brand in a market like Chicago and what it does, especially when a team like Morehouse is successful in winning. People know the Morehouse brand, may not know it much for athletics, but to have them being successful coming into a place like Chicago, to me that should be great for the conference.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. We've had representation in that classic the last 4 or 5 years. I think last year was Clark Atlanta playing Grambling. We lost by 10. Clark probably should have won that game because they had 5 turnovers in the red zone. But they acquitted themselves well. So, we've been a steady presence in that classic that's run by the Rand brothers in Chicago. And, this year should be one of the better games in the sense that even though Miles has had some struggles early on, they've generally been a slow starting and strong finishing program. Coach Ruffin's one of our better coaches, so I'm sure they'll be ready to play. And obviously, Morehouse has gotten off to a fast start. So they'll both be bringing their bands. Miles College, they appeared in the Honda Battle of the Bands most recently. So, President George French runs a phenomenal, and band director Snipes runs a great program over there. So, when you look at the our marquee band, perhaps, in the league being there performing and our two stronger programs, I think it should be a great crowd.
I love to talk up Miles College. My parents met at Miles College. I like to say, no Miles, no me. That's what I like to say about that. Talk about another city. Atlanta is the home, of course, for the SIAC. So your office is here. But if there was a home away from home, I would think it would be the Columbus area. I mean, the Columbus Phoenix City area with the Morehouse Tuskegee game there, with the Albany State Fort Valley, and already we've seen Tuskegee and Albany State play in Phoenix City. What is it about that area there on the state line that makes it so appealing for the conference?
Well, the Representative Calvin Smyre runs the Fountain City Classic. He's a Fort Valley alum and a big supporter of HBCU, so he's done a phenomenal job with that classic. That's the most well-attended Division II football game, not just HBCU, but Division II game in the country. And that's an important game for us in terms of Albany, Fort Valley. Obviously, the Morehouse Tuskegee Classic, which is also in Columbus, that's the oldest classic. I think they started in 1924, if I'm not mistaken, 24, 25. And that, again, a game that's gotten support in Columbus and A.J. McClung Stadium. So, and you mentioned kind of a newcomer to that area in Phoenix City, the Whitewater Classic, which has involved Albany State University and Tuskegee. So I think that area, its geographical location, you know, they're in an area where they're that those stadiums are in close geographic proximity to a lot of alumni who live in that area, Fort Valley and Albany and Tuskegee alumni in particular. They're not that far from those institutions, so students are able to get to those games fairly easily. And, you know, there's a lot of fans in those communities of those particular institutions. So I think it's a perfect storm of factors that have led to, you know, those cities, Phoenix City and Columbus, playing host to these, you know, these two historic games and this pretty good game that's relatively new, Whitewater Classic.
You talked about branching out in Florida possibly being an area that you like to see some extension, some growth in there. Is there a specific region that you may be thinking about?
Well, I mean, you know, we're always looking and talking to institutions. You know, it's probably premature now to talk about any particular institution. But I will say that FAMU was a member of our league years ago. And, you know, legendary Jake Gaither, I think he won 25 SIAC championships. And we, you know, Bethune-Cookman, as we mentioned earlier, you know, was a member of our league for many years. So, you know, there's a history there. And so we're obviously talking to, hopefully, to institutions that would like to consider our league as a possible home.
Talk about facilities and the importance of that. We've seen some things happen. We see that here in town, Clark Atlanta does some things with their scoreboard, some things to enhance the game day experience and what that means around your conference and just to the game day experience.
I think our presidents have really been making investments in the facilities that are a value proposition to our prospective student athletes and current student athletes. You know, obviously Clark has done a phenomenal job in making improvements. Their court that they had redone last year with the Atlanta skyline, the new locker room.
That's special.
Are great. The new scoreboard, you know, Lynn Dawson, the AD has done a phenomenal job of generating, you know, resources to, and the president, obviously, President Johnson, of really making the investment in athletics. And I think they've seen the benefit of that with their basketball program in particular, women and men making it to the NCAA tournament, you know, men back-to-back years with Coach Darryl Walker. So Miles College, you know, turf field, they're making investments in the facilities as well. Obviously, you know, Morehouse College, I think, got a new court redone this year. They dedicated the court to Coach McAfee.
Right.
So, you know, Payne College, you know, new basketball facility. They're seeing an uptick in their enrollment. So I think all of our presidents are making investments, the type of investments in our athletic programs that are, you know, attracting better student athletes, more competitive student athletes. And when you couple those facilities that you mentioned with the fact that our league has the best deal with Nike, the first league to have a head-to-toe conference-wide Nike deal, the largest in Division II history. We have the largest broadcast agreement. Obviously, we lead in football attendance 15 years in a row. Facilities are getting better. U.S. News just came up with their academic rankings. We have 5 schools ranked in the top 15. So when you look at academics, facilities, apparel, broadcast agreements, you know, our league is, you know, really second to none to any other league in Division II by those objective measures.
And it reflects a lot of the hard work, and you have a contract extension. Congratulations on all
Thank you. Those things
that you've done. And the question I want to ask you, what's the coolest thing about being the commissioner of the SIAC? They got to be great. A lot of perks come with this gig.
I think the coolest thing is that, Sam, we've been around for 105 years. And frankly, you know, we've not, and I say we, I'm talking about historically black colleges in general, have not gotten the credit they deserve, right, for the contributions that we've made to athletics in particular. And I'll just give one example. You know, you look at the NBA, right, they're trying to expand internationally. And they've invested a lot of money in, for instance, NBA Africa. And that involves, you know, building courts and teaching sub-Saharan African kids the game, right, the rules of the game. When you think about college sports, right, black folks didn't start attending, you know, predominantly white institution until the 70s, right?
Right.
You talk about the famous game at Legion Field involving Alabama and USC. So in mass, you didn't see a lot of integration until the early 70s. So between 1912, when the CIAA was founded, 1913, the SIC was founded, and 1970, you know, historically black colleges pretty much carried, you know, we were doing the development of young men and women in terms of sports, right? We were teaching kids, you know, the rules of the game. We were, Jay Gaither brought speed, the innovation of speed.
Bob Hayes.
John McClendon, the fast break.
Yeah.
I mean, not only did we teach, you know, our young men and women these sports, right, in doing the development, but we also innovated, right, in terms of brought innovation to the sport in general.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool to me is, you know, we talked about diversity, inclusion, the contributions that we make. I feel I have the platform as commissioner, as a former litigator and trial attorney, to make the case for our schools. And to make the case on not only, you know, why we're relevant, but why we're critically important to any discussion about diversity, inclusion, the economic impact of our schools. You know, our schools are, you know, located in areas that have 2 to 3 times the poverty rate. So when you look at the contributions our schools are making by providing jobs and employment opportunities, right, which are the two biggest combatants to poverty.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's cool that I have an opportunity to make that case, you know, day in and day out, not just to folks like yourself and on this program, but also, you know, the corporate sponsors, the philanthropic community, the media in general, and also to some of our stakeholders who may not be aware of some of the gigantic contributions they're making in an economic context. That's the coolest part to me.
Well, Commissioner Gregory Moore, we would like to thank you again for joining us to talk everything related to your conference, the SIAC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for being here. Keep up the good work, guys.
Right. Well, you have to come back and visit us sometime.
Yes.
Let me know. I can come back. I enjoy these visits.
All right.
I'm right down the street.
All right. That's duly noted now.
All right.
That's noted. So when we call, be ready.
Yes, yeah. Without question.
Okay. Coming up next, you guys, we're going to the kickoff, getting you ready for some games that's coming up this weekend. Stay tuned. More HBCU Play on the way. We'll be right back.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.